Well, welcome to The Word is the Way to Life, or The Pastor's Thoughts. I think a lot about Jesus becoming the Word in flesh and dwelt among us, and He is in charge. Amen. So the Word is the way to life, and we need to learn how to follow the teachings of Jesus. We have been on this journey of the book of Ecclesiastes. This week we're all the way up to chapter 9, starting at verse 5 through verse 12. Hear God's Word, New Living Translation. The living, at least, know they will die, but dead know nothing. They have no further reward, nor are they remembered. Whatever they did in their lifetime, loving, hating, and envying, is all long gone. They no longer have a part in anything here on earth. So go ahead, eat your food, drink your wine, and with a happy heart. For God approves of this. Wear fine clothes with a dash of cologne. Oh yeah, live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you in this world. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. Whatever you do, do well, for when you go to the grave, there will be no work or planning or knowledge or wisdom. I have observed something else in this world of ours. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. The strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise are often poor, and the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. I love Solomon. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. It's all decided by chance, by being at the right place at the right time. People can never predict when hard times might come, like fish in a net or birds in a snare. People often caught by sudden tragedies. Wow. Well, Solomon, I love Solomon. Now, there's a commentary in my Bible before I get on to my commentaries, and the title with it is Fairness, and it refers to verse 11 in the scripture where Solomon said, I have observed something else in this world of ours. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race, and the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. Well, life isn't fair. With all that said, at one time or another, and for some people this seems especially true, cancer attacks certain families and not others. Some people can't find a good job, no matter how hard they work. Some parents lose two or more children to death, while others lose none. When we see such situations, we call life is unfair, and we're right, since humanity has fallen into a right relationship with the Creator, the world doesn't work the way the Creator intended. The book of Proverbs, also written by Solomon, emphasizes how things would work if everyone was living rightly and fairly. Ecclesiastes tells us that what often happens in our less than perfect world, but we need to remember that while the world doesn't always treat us fairly, God is always fair and just. One day, this fallen world that we have gotten ourselves into will end, and the ultimate justice and fairness will prevail. Well, it's a wonderful thought of Ecclesiastes and Solomon. And I think that we can even remember some of the other books in the Bible that give us response. You remember the famous one of Job and his response to the catastrophes that he suffered. In Job chapter 2, verse 10, it said, we shall accept the good from God and not trouble. Well, Solomon, in the passage that I read today, seems to reverse Job, saying, shall we not receive trouble from God and not receive good? Well, having dwelt on the finality of death, Solomon once again commends enjoyment of pleasures that lie near to the hand. Eat with gladness, drink with a joyful heart, enjoy life and your wife. I love that. Now, don't even ask God what He wants you to do to enjoy these things. He does. He wants you to enjoy them. They are part of His world, and He has made them your lot. if the temptation in the garden didn't turn out the way it did, where they succumbed and went ahead and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we wouldn't have all this stuff. But since they did, they now have wisdom, the good and the evil. And Solomon's addressing that. He is wise. We'll learn in chapter 12 what he's come to the conclusion of, but stay with us, because the implication of these verses in context is plain. Why brood questions which have no clear answer? Why worry over what you can do nothing about? Why not relish what God gives you to enjoy? But in the reading of the scriptures in context, it also suggests that this can be difficult advice to follow. Just how easy it is to dismiss life's unsolved issues. Indeed, Solomon himself seems to undermine what he is saying, telling us to enjoy life, but then reminding us that life is fruitful, telling us to go for it, but concluding that we should place well to go to the end, because it'll end up in Sheol, or the underground, or whatever you want to call hell, a realm of utter nothingness. I don't want to go there. I want to go to the promise of eternal life, don't you? So, life is unpredictable. The race is not to the swift. The evil times arrive, and if you do like I like to do sometimes, imagine a cruel net, a snare, as though sometimes events conspire to bring us down. And that's how it can seem. I was so happy that things were going well, and then all of a sudden, oh, something disastrous happened. My life, your life, have you experienced that? I think we all have. And it's as though, as Solomon is saying, enjoy life while you can, guys, before calamity strikes. Well, some scholars are good. Educated people are good. And also, Solomon is good. I think Solomon gives us better advice than some scholars that we listen to in the, pertaining to theological things. In chapter 9, verses 7 through 10, it's exact context by suggesting it is met ironically along the lines of God's dealing are incomprehensible. But you may as well try to convince yourself that he wants you to enjoy life. It may help you on your journey to the grave. Well, is that where it's all going to end? I don't think so, not if you trust in Christ. But I digress. I suggest that we should take both sides of what the teacher says here with full seriousness, a focus for the main themes of Ecclesiastes. And these verses remind us of our limitations in lifespan, in power, and of course in knowledge, and then point us towards God. It's a paradoxical way. Today's passage is about faith in God. Solomon acknowledges everything in the world that seems to undermine faith, and then tells us to accept and enjoy whatever God sends our way. I like that. Is our faith, you and me, is it enough to accept that challenge? Think about it. How would you respond to someone who claimed that enjoyment of things like food, drink, and good company and family life is a distraction to Christians and who ought to be engaged in the work of the kingdom? Well, we are engaged in the work of the kingdom, but God told us to enjoy what he has given to us. So how can you enjoy life when you face pain or suffering, or when you are troubled by life's unexplained mysteries? Well, I have found that if I be still and know that God is God, and let the Holy Spirit give me some comfort, then I can go through life knowing that no matter what happens in this world, Jesus said in this world you're going to have trials and tribulations, but then what did he say? Fear not. Fear not. I have overcome the world. So all this stuff we experience, challenges and disappointments and everything else. This is Ralphie now. I think we're in training until God comes for us, or we go home to be with him and say, well, what, that's some rough training. Yeah, we're going to be in training until he, why do you think that? I think so because he wants well-trained saints to return with him, as it says in that little book of Jude, to set up his kingdom on earth. So take heart, my child. You are in training in the kingdom of God, and the results are eternal life. Isn't that neat? Well, anyhow, this is also Pastor's Thoughts, which I shared, and I shared more of Solomon's thoughts than mine, but I always get a little bit of Raphaism in there somehow. But we want to lift up folks that are on our prayer list. If you click on the slide part of this, of the message, you'll bring up all the ones that we know about that we put in the bulletin every week. But there's always some that are not mentioned aloud. And God knows your heart. He knows what you need. And we come into prayer of agreement with you and for you for all of that. And we're so grateful that we have the ability to come to you every week with the Word is the Way to Life and thinking about my thoughts, how they relate to Scripture. So with that, we want to come in a prayer of agreement with all that we know about and what we don't know about, because you don't need an 800 number and you certainly don't need a preacher. You just need to talk to God yourself. You know what? He wants to talk to you. He wants to listen to you. It's like a two-way conversation with the one who created you. What a wonderful friend we have in Jesus. Amen? And we close this segment always with the prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples. And I think that the Lord's Prayer truly is in John 17, where Jesus prayed for us, you and me. But this prayer, I think, is more of a disciples' prayer, because he taught the disciples how to pray and how you and I should pray, as we use this as a model prayer for all of our prayers to line up with as we pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hope and pray you're having a wonderful day. Come to see us in person, and if you would, Bethel United Methodist Church, Tallahassee, Florida.